Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you all again. And as I said last week, and just wanted to thank Master Eric and Tammy and the leadership and all of you just for the way that you have treated Janine and I and our boys, just for the love and the support that we receive here from Living Hope Family Church. So we want to express that. We want to tell you that we don't take it for granted. We value it tremendously. So again, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to share the word this morning. I felt that the Lord wanted me just to pray a prayer before we start. Let me just go ahead and do that. And then let's pick up from where we were last week. So just join me this morning. Father, we thank you. You have declared in your word that through the name of Jesus, we have authority over all the works of the devil. So, Lord, right now, in your name, Jesus, we take authority over every work of the darkness that and every scheme that you, Satan, have purposed and intended for this morning. We just declare that your works are void of power, void of influence. We bind those works right now. And Lord, we humbly and with faith in our hearts, Lord, release your purposes here this morning. We ask you, Holy Spirit, would you come and minister to hearts and minds here? Would you bring the kingdom of God into our lives? Would you work the will of the Father in each one of us? Lord, I ask you for your anointing and your unction this morning to share the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I believe I'm right in saying this, that the whole world has been orphaned through the fall of man in Adam. Although we may not have experienced being raised as an orphan, although we may not have been mistreated as a child growing up, that kind of gave us a sense or a feeling or experience of really being abandoned or rejected. Really, in Adam, the whole world was orphaned. We were separated from our God and our Father. And so Jesus' mission in coming to the earth was to deal with that which separates us from God, which is sin. And we all know that and we all understand that. And we're all so grateful to him for what he did for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? Amen. Yeah, we appreciate that today. And I want to encourage you to never stop thanking Jesus for what he has done for you through his work of redemption. But there is another major and almost crowning purpose that Jesus had in mind and accomplished and wants to continue accomplishing even here this morning, is that he came to introduce us to the Father. He came to didn't come just to bring us forgiveness of sins. He didn't just come so that we could go to heaven one day. I love what Bob Mumford says. He says, if you're a Christian and you die, there's nowhere else you can go. Amen? So heaven is not the goal, beloved. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. And so the goal, the crowning purpose of the work of redemption is to reconcile us to the Father and also through his life and ministry to introduce us to God as Father. Amen? Open your Bibles and let's just look at a scripture here that I think is significant in this. Jesus is the way, but the Father is our destination. That's where he wants us to head. That's where he wants to bring us into, is into a relationship with the Father. So we're looking at John chapter 17. And we know John 17 is his prayer to the Father for his disciples that were then and us who would believe through them. over the generations. And he gets to verse 25, John 17, verse 25. He says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Now look at verse 26. And I have declared to them your name. Now, beloved, these were the disciples were Jews. They had the law. They knew the names of God. The Old Testament is full of the names of God. And every one of those names revealed a specific characteristic of God and a way that God wanted to be in relationship with his people. You know, whether it's Jehovah Jireh, whatever it was, the God says, I'm the God who sees your need. I'm the God who provides. And yet Jesus is saying here that you know, Father, I have declared to them your name. And I will declare it. Some translations say, and I will continue to declare it. I've declared it, and I will continue to declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so Jesus came to declare the name of God, and I believe that name is Father. That name is Father. The Old Testament, as I said, is full of names, but in the New Testament, there are two names, Jesus and Father. They are the two names that dominate the New Testament. And Jesus says, I have declared your name, and I will continue to declare it. So Jesus came to reveal God to us as Father. That's his name. His name is Father. And Jesus was very urgent in his heart and very diligent in his ministry to make sure that the disciples got the name of God and got the concept in their head that Elohim, Jehovah, you know, this almost in the Old Testament untouchable, unreachable God is really their Father. Amen. And I believe it is this name that is the dominant name of the New Testament, or certainly the dominant name of Revelation that Jesus is wanting to bring to us as his disciples and those for whom he came to redeem and reconcile. So God is our Father. It seems to me was just so lost in the Old Testament, lost in the maze of the darkness that sin brought upon the soul and the hearts of men, and then also lost in the ritual and the adherence to the law. And you remember last week we looked at the two sons of the Father. Father had two sons. And those two sons somehow missed their relationship with Father. The one missed it in the grossness of his sin. He missed the pathway to relationship with his Father. And so he went off into this world that just spiraled down into the abyss of gross sin. But the other son missed his Father as he went off on another road that spiraled down into legalism to the point where he says, I've always served you and I've obeyed your every command. And so in both instances, we see there that the darkness of sin and the absolute, you know, living with God in such a legalistic way seem to have robbed both these sons of their relationship with their Father. And you know what? I still think that is the strategy of the enemy. If you've watched the Agape Road, if you haven't, I highly recommend it to you. Charlie's got a copy of it, but it's a ministry by Bob Mumford. Where he takes John 14, verse 6, which is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. And so he says the destiny or the destination is the Father. But the enemy is always trying to, as believers, to get us off this path into either one or even both of these side roads. And it's amazing how people can be extremely religious, but at the same time, extremely worldly. Amen. And so that is the enemy's working against your life, is either to take you spiral down into some gross sin that leaves you distant from God, or to get you so legalistic and so, you know, so works and performance orientated that too robs you of intimacy. And so we saw in the parable just this amazing, amazing father, that when his prodigal son, his son who has got into gross sin, comes to him, it's almost as if the father ignores him. In fact, he does. He ignores his long speech about how bad he is, and the father restores him into his position of relationship as a son. And so we see this prodigal father. We see this father who lavishes such love and grace upon a son. Remember, the son said, I'm unworthy to be called your son. Treat me as a servant. Father says, no way. You're my son. I'm going to treat you like a son. The other son, of course, you know, we heard his story that, you know, I've obeyed you. I've served you. And the father says, son, don't you get it? The whole farm's yours. You know what I mean? Whatever's left, your son, your brother took his off. What's left is yours. Why are you asking me to give you a goat so you can celebrate with your buddies? It's yours. But because of a legalistic relationship, he lost it with his father. And so I really believe that God is wanting to just impact our hearts and our lives with the reality that, yes, he's our God, but he's our Father. Amen. And just what that relationship implies. One of the things that amazed me, and I might have missed a few references, but I just took Esau and scanned the Old Testament for anywhere where the Old Testament saints would refer to God as their Father. I could find 5 references in the entire Old Testament. I might have missed 1 or 2, but I promise you there's not 40 or 50 there. There may be 1 or 2 more. David, on only 2 occasions, in 2 Psalms, mentions God as his Father. Isaiah, in a back-to-back, you know, within a few verses, uses the name that God is their Father twice. And then once in Malachi. Can you imagine that? In all of the writing, in all of that history, about 4,000 years of human history and journeying with God, that only 3 guys, in those little glimpses of God, caught the concept that God was their Father. That to me is just amazing. And then, I've told you that I'm kind of on this journey through the book of Matthew looking for the kingdom of God. And you get to Matthew chapter 5 and 6, and in those 2 chapters, 14 times Jesus speaks of God being our Father. He says, your Father, your Father, your Father. When you pray, say, our Father. And so again, I say to you that the dominant name that they're in the New Testament is not all the names that we see in the Old, but this relationship of a father and his son. Because I believe it is the father-son relationship that captures the very heart of God in how he wants to relate to you. And remember, ladies, we said sonship is not got nothing to do with gender. It's a position of relationship that is pictured in the father-son relationship. What I realized as I was just thinking about the names of God and the beauty of the names of God in the Old Testament is that through the name Father, each one of those names comes into the relationship. You see, my Father is Jehovah Jireh. My Father is Elohim. My Father. So every Old Testament name is just brought into the context of this relationship between a father and his son. My Father is El Shaddai. My Father is Jehovah Elohim. My Father is Jehovah Shammah, the God that stores. And so we kind of end up with this picture of, you know, my dad's bigger than your dad. Because suddenly it's not God who is all those things. It's my Father who is all those things. Amen. And I believe that's what Father captures, and that's what Jesus is trying, and why Jesus is continually saying, I've declared your name and I will continue to declare it. So Jesus came to reveal this relationship, this Father-Son relationship. We know John chapter 14, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Ah, I can hear clearly now. Okay. Everybody good so far? Are you with me? Okay. So I just look as I read through Matthew, I just see this amazing relationship that Jesus wants to model for us of this relationship of a father and a son. He doesn't want to model a master and a servant or a slave. He doesn't want to model an employer and an employee. This is not a business relationship. This is a family relationship. This is a father with his children. Amen? It's not business. It's not ownership. It's not a master and a slave. And I'm gonna crack the whip and you just do. And if you don't do, then I'm going to hit you with the whip. This is not, you didn't do what you meant to do, so I'm deducting some wages from you. You're losing your bonus at the end of the year. This is a father with his family. Amen. That's what I believe God wants us to catch so deeply in our hearts. So Jesus comes in and he just reveals and demonstrates and models this amazing relationship of a father and a son. And a father and his son speaks of a family. And so the kingdom of God, and remember that's my journey through Matthew, the kingdom of God is best understood in terms of family. The best description, the best picture that you can get of what does the kingdom of God look like, it looks like a father and a son. That's the relationship that catches the kingdom, you and I, the kingdom of God that God says that we're to pray down, that we're to desire that His kingdom would come on the earth as it is in heaven. The relationship is that it's captured in heaven through the Father and the Son. And God wants the earth. He wants people to understand that the relationship with God and Him is of a father and a son. You remember we looked last week at Hebrews chapter 2 where it says that Jesus brought many sons to glory. Not many servants, not many slaves, not many employees, but sons. And we said last week that as sons do we serve? Yes, because sons make the best servants. And we referenced Jesus as the Son of God who served His Father with the greatest obedience to the greatest measure than anybody had ever served God. But he served his Father as a son. And so the kingdom of God is best understood in terms of family, of a father and his son. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, this is what he said to them, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It's the Father's kingdom. Amen. It's the Father's kingdom that is captured in this relationship. Just turn with me to Hebrews, not Hebrews, I beg your pardon, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul catches the essence of what I'm trying to say to you in his prayers. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. In verse 14, Ephesians 3 and verse 14, he says, for this reason, and the reason is that he's been speaking of the unsearchable riches that are in Christ, and the mystery of how we, the Gentiles, were included with the nation of Israel. We were all included, and that God had worked everything according to his eternal purpose in Christ. And then he says, for this reason, verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So the whole family of those who have gone before us and those who are here on earth, we share in this common thing. We share our Father's name. He's saying, these are my kids. They carry my name. And then in Hebrews chapter 2 again, it says that because Jesus and you and I are of the same Father, he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call us brothers. So again, I say to you, the concept of the kingdom is best understood in terms of family. God is interested in family, and that relationship is this amazing relationship of a father and his sons. Now, if we go back to John 17, where we were a little earlier, when Jesus is praying for us there in verse 26, he says, I've declared your name, I'm going to continue to declare it. And he gives the reason why he's wanting so urgently and persistently to declare the Father's name. He says that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And so, again, I reference my own experience that it was as I began to step into this place of the of understanding, not just knowing in my head that God is Father, because I knew that in my theology, but somehow it had not penetrated into the recesses of my heart and into those places which I shared with you that were somehow broken, somehow undone. I don't know how all the psych of it and everything, but I know this, it was real. And I knew that the scripture said that I shouldn't have and I was not given a spirit of timidity, but I promise you it was there. And I knew the scripture, I knew in my theology that God was my Father, but somehow, maybe I'm just dumb and slow, I don't know. You know, maybe you guys are all much brighter and you're looking and saying, what took you so long, buddy? But somehow I don't think so, because of what we've seen as we've shared this with people. But it is in the understanding, as the name Father begins to birth upon our hearts, that the love that the Father had for his Son Jesus begins to do something right inside of us. It abides inside of us, and it does a work of healing that only God can do. I want to share with just a message from you from this a story from this book, God's Guides, that is here at the church, and it's on page 9 if you want to read it later. But this is the story. A teacher in another elementary school was very unhappy, deeply distressed over something she could not share. She learned to be still and listen to God for his guidance. Then one day she was meditating on the Lord's Prayer. Two words struck her with great illumination. Our Father. Then she told us her story. She was born to her mother out of wedlock. Her mother gave her to the Christian nurse who attended her. The nurse was married and had a home, so she took the child and brought her up as her own. All of us who knew this teacher thought she was the daughter of the Christian nurse. Then the teacher said, only today I realized that I had a father, our Father, who is in heaven. How thankful I am that he chose me to be his daughter. This thing's huge, beloved. John declares to us in 1 John chapter 3, behold, what kind of love the Father has loved us with. What kind of love is it? That we should be called the children of God. of God. It is His love that establishes us in our identity as the children of God, as the sons of God. It is His love. It is His affirmation. It's again when Jesus is just about to start His ministry, as we shared last week, and God splits the heavens and He declares, "This is my boy. This is my beloved son. And you know what? He gives me so much joy." And it is that same proclamation. That's why Jesus says, "I want them to know that your Father," because you're speaking the same declaration over their lives. "You, this is my girl, this is my boy, this is my son, this is my daughter. You are mine, and you're beloved. And you know what? You give me so much joy. You give me so much pleasure." Amen. So, the question for many people, and many people struggle with this, is what kind of a father is God? And again, I think this is one of the most crucial revelations that needs to dawn upon our hearts and be established in us, is that God is good. God is good. Not as a little phrase that we say, not a song that we just sing sometimes on a Sunday, but something that is right at the core of our faith, that we are able to declare with a great conviction in our hearts, God is good. God is good. Amen? As God is love, so God is good. And again, we reference Jesus because Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father." So if you want to know what Father's like, let me show you. And so as we again look at the kingdom of God through Jesus' life, we see nothing but goodness. We see nothing but kindness. We see nothing but Jesus is a most amazing demonstration of love and compassion and restoration of human lives, coming to people and healing their bodies, driving out the demons, restoring a lost one to a mother. Just an amazing demonstration of the kindness and the goodness that is in the heart of God towards the human race. And if you go with me back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is I believe, wanting to speak this out to His disciples and just get them to get it, as He wants us to get it this morning, that God is good. And He's revealed in the person of Jesus. And in Jesus, we see not only a good father, but we see a perfect father. Amen? We see a perfect father. Here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Why should we do that, Jesus? He says, "That you may be sons of your Father." So that you would be like your father, like son. He says, "That's why I want you to do that. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless those that curse you. I want you to do good to those who are hateful to you. And I want you to get down and I want you to pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you." The implications here, brother, is that's what the Father does. Amen? He says, "That you may be sons of your Father." And He clarifies, He goes on, He says, "For He," the Father, "makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good." See, the amazing thing about the love of God and the goodness of God is that God never discriminates. God does not discriminate in His goodness, because He knows, as Charlie quoted earlier, I can't remember if it was in this service or the previous service, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. So He says that the Father makes His Son rise, and I want you to note it's His Son, hey? His Son, S-U-N, His Son rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I wrote a little song. It says, every raindrop declares Your goodness, O God, and every ray of sunlight, Your favor. Amen. Because He makes His rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. So every raindrop is declaring to that mean-spirited, wicked old farmer, here comes a drop of God's goodness, if he could but see it. Every shaft of sunlight is speaking God's favor into the earth. Even though the earth rejects Him and mistreats Him and abuses and belittles and blasphemes Him, every morning that sun comes up and it declares the goodness of God over the earth. So God is good. You want to know what kind of Father you've got? Your Heavenly Father is good. Can we say that? God is good. My Father is good. He's a good Father. He is, in fact, a perfect Father. The more children you have, of which we have four, the more difficult it becomes to parent, because each child is different. And what worked with one doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work with the other. Amen? Now, there's some basic rules, but each one is an individual. And so many times as a parent, you just miss things. But your Father in heaven is a perfect Father. Not only is he good, but He is perfectly good. Because you know what? He tailors His goodness. He tailors His parenting of your life to you as an individual. He knows you. He knows everything about you. As I've said before, he knows all your warts, all your idiosyncrasies. He knows your secret sin. He knows your failures. He knows your weaknesses. He's never been disillusioned, because He never had any illusions to begin with. Amen. He knows that we are but dust. He knows our frailty. And yet He has set His love upon us as a Father to bring us into this amazing relationship as the sons of the living God. When Moses asked God to show him His glory, God's response was, I'll make all My goodness pass before you. I want to show you, Moses, My goodness, that I am good. And for me, that was such a significant time, because the law was to be introduced, and before the law came, there was no reckoning or counting of sin. But the moment the law came, the accounting of sin would begin, and mankind would be plunged into the reality of his guilt and condemnation before God. And at that crucial moment, God says, I want to reveal to you, Moses, My goodness. Praise God. I believe when Jesus stepped into the earth and the Word became flesh, the world saw the goodness of the Father again, living out, walking out on this earth. In James chapter 1, James says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in that Father, there is no variation, nor is there any shadow of turning. God is not a yes, no, maybe, possibly God. He's yes. There is no variation. Every good and every perfect gift is going to come down from the perfect God who is perfectly good, and He's going to put it upon your life. And He has done it in His Son Jesus. And there's no variation. He's not going to favor one and disfavor another. He's not going to do it one day and decide the next day not to do it. He is consistent in His goodness upon our lives. And so Paul declares in Romans chapter 8 that God is working all things to the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Because God is good, because our Father is good, everything that He brings to your life is for your good. I was having a conversation with a person just after the first service, and he was just speaking about his life again, and he says, I just seem to be in the wilderness. And I said, you've got to find out if you're in the wilderness because of your default, whether you have disobeyed God or you have sinned, or you're in the wilderness because of divine purpose. So go to your Father, find out if you've sinned. If you've sinned, confess it, and you can get out of the wilderness. But if you're there by divine design, then yield to the process. And I showed him that scripture in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, where God says, speaking of Israel, He says, I will allure her into the wilderness, and there I will speak gently to her. There I will give her her vineyards. Amen. And so God is good. Your Father is good. And we have to believe that, and that He is working everything to our good. Because we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. And His purpose is that you would be His Son through Jesus Christ. I believe it's this revelation of the Father heart of God, the revelation of the Father relationship to me, not of just God, and, you know, creator and creature, or employer and employee, but this Father-Son relationship that secures my heart, does for me, in a place of confidence that my Father has my best interests at mind, and that He is bringing me into the fullness of what He created me for. It is His perfect goodness to me that begins to heal my heart. Beloved, here's something that I want to just finish saying regarding this, is that just as God revealed His goodness to Moses, but we know that that glory faded because of the sin that was still in the human heart. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus came into the earth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says that the glory of God, and associate the glory of God with the goodness of God. Moses, show me your glory, God. God says, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Because the glory of God is that He is good. And it says that of Jesus, that the glory of God was revealed or made manifest in the face, in the person of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is gone. He's ascended to the Father. So how is the goodness of God going to be made known to the rest of humanity? How will the orphans out there know that they have a Father who loves them and is good and He's kind, and He's wanting to reconcile them to Himself through His Son? It is through the church. Amen. That just as the glory of God was revealed in the face of Christ Jesus, so God wants to reveal His glory again in the earth through the face of His church. Amen. back to Matthew and our journey, just after Jesus declares, and this was just so beautiful for me, what we call the Beatitudes is a declaration of the blessing of the Father. Blessed are the poor, the bankrupt in spirit. Blessed are the orphaned in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And so all of that is a declaration of the blessing of the Father upon his sons. And then Jesus finishes, when that blessing is pronounced, he says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he says, so let your light shine before men, that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. God wants to change your face. Amen. God wants his glory to be so pregnant inside of your hearts that it begins to show in your faces. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. It says that all of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. But if the church is orphaned, if the church is still living as if orphaned, if the church is still living as if God is not their Father, how will the world see the Father? No man comes to the Father. The Father sent his Son to reconcile the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. But if we live as orphans, how can we reconcile them to a Father we don't even know? We know him in our theology, but not in our hearts. You are the light of the world. You are the glory of God in the earth. It says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. How's that going to happen? Is God going to, you know, do some kind of thing in the sky that everybody's going to see it? No, it's going to happen through the church. We are the carriers of his glory. And so let the glory of God be upon your faces. Amen. The revealing of the orphan spirit is not for you to find justification for where you are and for your behavior. The purpose of showing that is so that we can see what the problem is and come to a Father who can heal us and make us whole so that we can be his true sons and daughters in the earth. Amen. So please don't use this as ammunition to justify your behavior. That's not the purpose. Or to get stuck there, to be in self-pity and whatever. But see it for what it is and let the Father come and heal your heart. I was sharing with with Dustine, our youngest daughter, and she said, Dad, you've got to write a confession and let them, and as a church, make the confession. So I've written, Janine and I wrote up a confession last night, and I think if you just stay seated, we can all see the screen. I'll put it up on the screen, and then we'll just pray together in closing. After we've prayed, just a general prayer, if anybody would like us just to minister to you individually, one-on-one, we can do that. But after that, we can be free to go upstairs. So let's do this together. Stay seated, otherwise you won't be able to see the screen. All right. Charlie, I haven't got my glasses on. Are we in focus there? Okay, I'll just come forward. All right. Can everybody see that? Can everybody see that? No. Why don't you come forward if you can't? Just there's some seats up front here, because I think this is important. So if you can't see from there, just come forward and get to somewhere, stand somewhere where you can see it. Just make sure you don't block anybody's vision. Everybody good? Okay. Let's say this together. Almighty God, thank you that I can call you Father. You really are my Father. I am born of you, born of your incorruptible seed. I am born of your will. I am born of your pleasure. I am born of your passion. I am not a mistake. I am not an orphan, but your child. You have always wanted me. You love me and you like me. Thank you, Father. When I believed in and received Jesus as my Savior, you gave me the privilege and the right to call myself your child. So, Father, today I declare, I am your child. Father, thank you that you love me so much you send Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming for me. Thank you that by your death and resurrection, you removed my sin, all my guilt, my shame and condemnation. You reconciled me to Father, to your Father and my Father. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. I love you. Thank you that you said you would not leave me as an orphan, but that you would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm so glad you are here with me and in me. Thank you for witnessing to my spirit that I am my Father's child. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that through you I can say, Abba, Father. Thank you that you are taking me deeper into this truth. I love you too, Holy Spirit. Father, Abba, Father. Thank you for all your goodness to me. Thank you that I don't need to be anxious about my life because I'm not an orphan. You care for me and you know the things I have need of, natural things and spiritual things. And you are working all things to my good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. Father, thank you for your grace. Today, Father, I want to forgive all those who hurt me and failed me. Today, Father, I forgive them. I release them. They owe me nothing. I choose not to be angry with them. I choose not to bear a grudge. Father, please give me the grace to forgive and release them. Please heal the broken places of my heart. Heal the pain. Heal the heartache. Free me from an orphan spirit. Free me to love and to be loved. You are my hope, and in you I trust. You are the perfect Father. I love you, Father. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Woo! Let's stand together. Let's bless the Lord, for He is good. Phew, Lord, Father, it's so good to say Father. It's so good to know that we are your sons and your true daughters. We are nothing less than your children. It's so good to say Father. Father, I just want to say Father. It's so nice to call you Father. So Father, would you just secure hearts right now? Would you fulfill that prayer right now, the one we've just prayed? Father, would you pour in grace? Would you help us to forgive? Would you to release those who have wounded and hurt us, Lord? But Lord, we don't only need grace to forgive. We need your love to heal our hearts, to take away the pain, to take away the dysfunction that pain sometimes causes us, Lord. So heal our hearts right now, Father. Heal our hearts. Heal our hearts. Thank you so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. thank you, Holy Spirit. We so appreciate you. And so, Lord, I just want to bless the journey of your people as they continue to walk down the road of your love, as you draw them to yourself, Father. I pray, Father, just abundance of grace, abundance of revelation and understanding, an abundance of courage and faith, Lord, to move into the things that you're calling them into. So, Lord, Father, bless your sons and your daughters with your Father's blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.